First, Wisconsin researchers are running experiments to better understand how the new coronavirus functions. They're using animal models and research on other contagious diseases to try to figure out how to prevent COVID-19. Peter Halfman is a scientist at UW-Madison who works with influenza and Ebola, among other diseases. He isn't directly developing a possible coronavirus vaccine, but he's a lead researcher in the lab that is. He talked with WPR host Keely Boltina about the latest scientific work on the new coronavirus.
What do we know about mutation and this new coronavirus?
Right now, there's not a lot of mutations occurring that now have distinguished a certain strain of coronavirus from the original strain. So there's not a lot of mutation going on that we know for sure is changing transmissibility or pathogenicity of the virus.
We battle this every year with influenza as scientists do their best to determine which strains of flu are most likely to take hold, and then we inevitably miss some. Does this new coronavirus mutate differently than influenza, or does it just not really do it?
Well, the difference here is that with flu, we put some immune pressures on the virus because we get vaccinated. So the virus wants to try to escape that. And now, right now, with coronavirus, we don't have a vaccine yet. So it's a novel virus to us. There's not a lot of selective pressure going on. And that's why we're really not seeing this kind of divergence of different strains occurring.
When it comes to technology of developing a vaccine, then, how are we using what we know about influenza to help us with the new coronavirus?
So our group in particular has come up with a technique to make influenza virus artificially. So we're using that technique, which is called reverse genetics, to kind of modify the flu backbone. And we are inserting a coronavirus protein, the spike protein, which our immune system recognizes, into that flu backbone. So then we'll have a single replication competent influenza virus modified to express the coronavirus protein, and that way we can make a vaccine that will hopefully protect people from both influenza virus and this new coronavirus.
Is it possible that we might not actually be able to develop a vaccine against the virus that causes COVID-19?
We will. The thing to remember is that these first vaccines are going to come out, you know, hopefully by the end of this year, early of next year, most likely not going to be the best vaccines. We're kind of using technologies we've had in place for other vaccines, and we're kind of implementing them with this coronavirus vaccine. So they might not be the best at first, and that's where we have to look at the data from the clinical trials, kind of go back and modify our vaccine a bit to kind of give a better boost to the immune system. And when I say they're not the best, it's going to be a vaccine that you're going to have to get a prime immunization and then a boost immunization, and maybe even a third immunization to be completely protective. So we kind of want to modify these vaccines down the road so that they only require one vaccination, and that will help reduce the amount of vaccines we need to make for the world.
Then how long could it take for us to develop a safe, effective vaccine?
We should be getting a vaccine out hopefully the first or second quarter of 2021. We did an Ebola virus vaccine here in this lab that is in clinical trials right now, and that took us 5 years to develop. You're definitely looking at a time frame in a normal situation that could take up to 5 years, and we're trying to condense this down to 1 year. So there's a lot of hurdles to do that, and any kind of little issue along this pipeline could add, you know, several months to this process. The nice thing is that there's over 100 coronavirus vaccine candidates that are in different phases of development. I think the last count, there was at least 17 that are in human trials. So the nice thing here is we have a whole world of collaborators and researchers working on this. So if there's a hiccup in one vaccine, we definitely have some fallback.
Peter Halfman is a research associate professor at UW-Madison. We're talking about research happening here in Wisconsin as labs rush to understand the new coronavirus and figure out how to fight it. This is the Ideas Network. Peter, what have we found out about animal transmission and the new coronavirus?
We were hearing stories several months ago about human transmitting the virus to cats, and that's kind of something that we became interested in with our research, and it showed that once a cat was infected, it easily transmitted the virus to naive cats. And the cats in our study were healthy, and they never, besides having coronavirus, they were healthy, and they never showed any signs of illness. So there is definitely the possibility of some domestic animals like cats, and now we're hearing dogs getting infected with this virus. So they could serve as a minor reservoir for this virus or intermediate host for this virus. And that's something we should kind of keep an eye on.
And what you mean by that is that they might not have all of the effects, or it might not really like to live in animals, but they could transmit it to us as humans.
Easily transmit it to us, yeah. And there's definitely cases in the Netherlands where cats have become infected and have transmitted to humans.
Should we be concerned about wild animals here?
That should be looked into. Just like influenza virus, where there are wildlife animal reserves out there, this virus is sticking around for a long time, and it could easily mutate or adapt, and we could have a wildlife reservoir that we don't even know about. And that'll make trying to get this pandemic or get this virus under control a lot more difficult if that happens.
What have you found out about hamsters?
We developed a hamster model for infection, and this was mainly for using for vaccine and antiviral or countermeasure research. We need an animal model to test these vaccines and antiviral drugs. So we developed a hamster model, and we are aiming for an animal model that really recapitulated what was going on in humans. And the golden Syrian hamsters that we used had very high virus replication in their lungs, and only in the lungs, just like was happening in humans. And we see a lot of damage to the lungs because of infection, and we also see pneumonia in these lungs. So it's a great model to kind of look at vaccine development and antiviral development, because they really mimic the infections we see in humans.
We've heard a lot about antibodies. Can you talk some about plasma therapy? What is that?
Yeah, that was part of our hamster study too, and there's actually a study going on here at UW. It's a very old technique that people have used, that they ask people who have recovered from infection to donate blood. And then the cell parts of the blood is centrifuged out, leaving the plasma that's left. And inside that plasma are antibodies. And a portion of those antibodies are specific to the coronavirus, and they're actually called neutralizing antibodies. So these antibodies in this plasma from healthy people that have recovered from the virus can actually bind to the surface of the virus and don't let the virus get into your body and then protect you from infection.
What do we need to know next to figure out if that works when it comes to the virus that causes COVID-19?
So there are clinical studies going on, healthy people donating their plasma. In the lab, we can tell that the plasma from these people have really good antibodies in it that neutralize the virus. So now we'll need a couple months for clinical testing to see if this actually can be transferred from one person to another person, the plasma and the protection antibodies that are in that plasma. In the lab, we've done this with hamsters. We infected hamsters, let them recover from infection, and then took their plasma and transferred that to naive hamsters, infected them. And they were fairly well protected from the virus.
We've seen conspiracy theories, some fear about where and how this disease started. What do you make of the public's response and understanding of this virus right now?
That's a good question. Before we got into coronavirus research, our main research is actually with Ebola virus. We spent a good portion of 2 years in Sierra Leone and West Africa during that outbreak. And we hear the same thing, too, with Ebola virus, that, you know, it's something that's a lab that came out of a lab, that came out of a government. And now we actually have heard this in the United States from people, and it's discouraging. It might be the fact that people don't know people that have been infected or have been negatively affected by an infection. So we just hope that there's enough education out there for people to believe that this is not a conspiracy and that it should be taken serious. And I think by the numbers that we see here in the United States of the number of infections and records we're seeing in certain states for hospitalizations and deaths, that there really needs to be a push for public education on this virus.
Peter, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was researcher Peter Haffman talking with WPR host Keely Boltina. They discussed research here in Wisconsin on the virus that causes COVID-19 and how likely it is that scientists can develop an effective vaccine, and soon.